I'd like to ask Mr. Stewart to come up. That's where I was trying to go.
Pretty gruesome, really.
You haven't seen that film, except for a rough cut, you said.
That's our rough cut, but I'm trying to think if I'd seen it before. I got a rough cut, and when was it made?
1948. What's your reaction to
it now? Well, of course, it was a fascinating project. Principally because it was the first chance I had to work with Mr. Alfred Hitchcock. His ability and really his genius is so astounding that it's a tremendous thing just to be around him. And the thing that fascinated me about this picture was I think it was his attempt to make a motion picture, an action picture, when he was restricted to one room. And as you could see, he didn't use the cot at all. He just he moved the camera almost as an intruder. Looking, if you notice, every once in a while the camera would go to somebody's back and then pan away. Well, of course, the reason for that was that it had to be a lap dissolve between the magazines of film, the magazines, the Mitchell camera in those days was 1,000 feet, and with the front ends and the rear end that were used for threading, it came out to about 930 feet, 40, 50 feet, and that meant about four and a half minutes of film, and it was his idea to give the audience the impression that there were no cuts, that the camera was this intruder moving around. He has since sort of retracted that attitude he had and that idea. He feels that the cut is really essential in motion pictures, and I think everybody will agree. It's sort of like not using one of the best assets you have. But that's Hitchcock. He'll try anything. The technique and the sort of the technical aspect of the picture was so fascinating that I don't know, the acting and the performance sort of came in second. I don't know whether you notice it, but I could certainly notice it after all these years. As you came to the end of the reel, all the actors, and of course I was looking at myself, because you always look at yourself when you're seeing yourself in a movie. I have noticed as you came to the end of the reel and realized that if you went up on the line or tripped or dropped a prop or anything, they'd have to throw the whole thing out and start it over on a new reel. So your eyes kind of got glossy and glassy. Which doesn't do too much good to a performance, but Hitch's idea brought forth a whole lot of new innovations that, of course, were used to tremendous advantage. For instance, this, I don't know whether it was the first, but one of the very first times that the crab dolly was used. This, the dolly where the camera's on, where both the front wheels and the rear wheels can move in different directions. You move. You don't put the camera on a track as we used to, but the camera could move in all directions. The walls all moved. For instance, for the case where that poor guy was in there dead, I would go up. I remember at one point I would go up and light a cigarette and then walk and put the chest was right in front of me, then walk back and the camera would follow me. Then I would walk up to flick the ash in the ashtray, but the chest wouldn't be there. It would be a prop man holding up an ashtray. It's sort of a little disturbing when you're performing. Another thing I was just thinking, I don't know whether you noticed it. I had trouble seeing it, but I don't know whether you know that Hitchcock always insists on himself being in all his pictures. If you've seen them, he's a porter that comes in, or he just walks in, but it's a sort of a good luck thing. Well, we were very interested in how he was going to get in this one, because there wasn't one set, and he would have to have a reason. How he figured it out, I don't know whether you're conscious of the fact that as it became from daylight to night time, this was all done on rheostats and everything, and the lights and the signs started coming on. One of the signs was down the corner. It was kind of hard to see. One of the signs was a caricature of Hitchcock, and it advertised a reducing establishment.
Now, what kind of problems, or how did this affect your acting technique, in the sense that usually films are filmed in bits and pieces, whereas this was done more or less in continuity? Did this pose problems as to developing a performance?
Yes, it posed problems because there was so much activity. There was, today you would do a scene, maybe a 3-4 minute scene, and there would perhaps be at the most 5 or 6 camera moves, if there were any. In this, lots of times there would be 50 camera moves in one magazine of film. During this time, walls would move and furniture would go out of the way, and as a matter of fact, Hitch tried to get the walls not to make any noise when you moved. He put rubber tires on the walls that they were hanging from these wheels. But with all his work to cut down the noise, it didn't work. And there was just too much noise. But amazingly, we would do one magazine of film for the camera, and then we would take the cameras away and open up the set so that there was no walls move or anything, and put about 10 microphones all over the place to get the film, and we would do the same scene. And we were all so well up on the scene, in other words, had rehearsed it so long that we knew the scene, that he was able to use the dialogue that we did the second time on the film that he exposed with the camera. So none of us did any dubbing.
Thank you.